Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints Podcast here on the UBS Market Moves Podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. While markets and the U.S. economy should have been defying skeptics, not everyone seems convinced. According to surveys, almost every second U.S. voter judges that the U.S. economy is doing poorly or mediocre. Even some Wall Street strategists are doubtful at this point. One of them even predicted on Bloomberg this week that a decade of only 3% annualized returns is ahead of us. Meanwhile, the British magazine The Economist published a cover story on the U.S. economy, calling it the envy of the world. So what should our audience make of such diverging views? Burkhard, of course, our listeners know you've been consistently emphasizing the bull case, but for today, I would like to probe your case and conviction a bit further. So let's begin, Burkhard, by comparing notes between you and the skeptics' views. So, Burkhard, what can you share with us?
Well, for one, our roaring 20s scenario expects continued productivity-driven growth. The current growth pace of 3% GDP growth and 2% inflation seems a reasonable starting point if productivity growth continues as we expect. The S&P 500's annualized return should at least match the 6 to 7% achieved in the early 1990s. And that actually means 11% total returns per annum. That's including the reinvested dividend. Let me just turn to the three concerns which the doubters mainly mentioned. The first one is earnings growth. Well, the S&P's earnings per share have grown roughly 6.5% per year for nearly a century. Assuming only 6% growth over the coming decade, and even removing dividends from the equation, valuations would need to be halved to produce those annual returns of just 3%. Now, that looks very unlikely to us. Second is valuations. Of course, it's reasonable to argue that higher starting valuations, which we face today, lead to lower future returns. However, investors are always paying for profits, and U.S. forward PEs simply don't look expensive, and certainly not against their global peers. That's simply because profit margins have been rising steadily and may well continue to do so, at least in our roaring 20s scenario. The third concern is market concentration, and actually this seems to be the doubter's main worry. Well, we all know that only 7 stocks make up 40% of the S&P. The doubters point out that a similar market concentration preceded the dot-com crash in 2000. Right. And yet, for one, the financial strength of the Magnificent Seven, as we know them, quite simply dwarfs the tech sector of the 1990s. Collectively, the Mag Seven combine more than a third of the S&P's earnings. Second, we think, going forward, actually all companies should be considered tech companies. And it's quite simply because most of their investments are nowadays tech investments, which lead to higher profit margins. And third, from my humble Swiss perspective, I throw in that the leading Swiss market index has been more concentrated than the S&P for decades. Only 4 Swiss stocks make up 60% of its capitalization, a fact which never caused any harm.
Well, Burkhard, that's good to hear, and yet some of that must surely be reflected in stock prices, wouldn't you say? I know the S&P 500 is up 63% over the past 2 years. So, Burkhard, why should investors think there is more to come at this point?
So let me answer by outlining what I consider to be the anatomy of bull and bear markets, which I do believe, all investors should really know well. To start with, the current bull market is young. On October 11th, so just a few days ago, it passed its second happy birthday jubilee back from October 11th, 2022. It's now up 36% for the last 2 years, as you rightly point out. But that's neither very much, nor is the bull very old. So here's my comparison. The average duration of bull markets over the last almost century has been 6.6 years, which gave average compounded returns, total returns of roughly 340%. Bear markets are usually much faster. On average, they lasted only 1.3 years and compounded losses of 38%. Of all nine S&P bull markets over the last almost century, the one of the 1990s seems most comparable to us. That's because it, too, was caused by disruptive new technology. The internet and mobile communications stirred a lasting rise in productivity back then, while monetary policy was generally easy. That bull market lasted for almost 13 years with total returns of 814% or 19% annualized. The Nifty 50 bull market of the 1970s, early 80s was less comparable, but it too, just for mentioning it, lasted 12.7 years, gave total returns of 760 or annualized returns of almost 19%. The last bull market was put to rest, as we remember vividly, by the pandemic and inflation after an 11-year run. It compounded about 430%, which meant annualized returns of 17%. And to complete the roundup, the shortest bull market ended after only 2.5 years. That was in 1973, when the first oil crisis hit, created total returns of 73% or annualized returns of 25%. So, look, I think the long and short of this brief anatomy of bull markets and bull and bear markets suggests that the current bull looks by all means young and alive, and it has further to go. Its total returns are actually smack in line with the first 2 years' returns of previous bulls, and the profits which power it are stronger, if anything, and still roaring ahead in our UBS house view. That's why we reiterate that there's still more to come, even if the Santa rally has arrived early this year. Stay invested at all times remains our main view.
Burkhard, thank you very much for that vote of confidence and that guidance. That's always very helpful to our audience and has served investors well throughout the course of 2024. And as always, Burkhard, do look forward to our upcoming Viewpoints conversations. It was nice to reconnect with you here on the podcast today, and do look forward to speaking again with you soon.
Thank you, Dan. A pleasure as always. Thanks very much, and catch up next week or so.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.